On Yutes Amud Beis, and we got up to the Mishnah. Until now, the Mishnah back on Tesvav Amud Beis was addressing Regel and other kinds of Mu'adim like Keren after three times. Now the Mishnah is addressing the Av of Shein, Ketzar HaShein Mu'edis. And we're reading it the way Rashi reads it. This is a question. Ketzar HaShein Mu'edis, the answer to which begins with Lechol Asaroila. Tosus has a slightly different reading of this Mishnah. He says, Ketzar HaShein Mu'edis Lechol Asaroila. That's where you put the question mark. And the answer is HaBehema Mu'edis Lechol Peros V'Yirakos, etc. In any event, the common link here between Rashi and Tosus is that the Shein is, we anticipate it will eat that which it usually eats, and in such a case, the Baal HaBehema pays Nezek Sholem. What is considered Roila in general as far as Shein, as far as Behema is concerned? The Mishnah says Peros V'Yirakos. What is this coming to exclude? Fruits and vegetables are appropriate food for the animal, but ochlo ksus o kelim, in the case where the animal eats garments or utensils, this is what you call eno roila. This is not something that we anticipate in eating. And therefore, what's the din? Mishalem chatzi nezek. This comes under the case of Mishuna, under the Av of Keren, and in this case Keren Tama, and you pay Chatzi Nezek. So since in the case of Ksus V'Kelim, we're talking about a Shinui, and as we said before, if it's Lav Urchi, it's a told of Keren, therefore the Mishnah establishes that you pay Chatzi Nezek, because that's the din of Keren Tama. The Mishnah doesn't mention anything about an animal that eats chitim. That's not really a shinui, and that would probably come under shein and not under keren, and therefore you'd be chayev nezek sholem in Rishus HaNizak. The Mishnah says, "Bamed dvar ma'murim." When do we formulate the halacha of davar roila that you pay Nezek Sholem? That's only Bershus HaNizak, Aval Bershus HaRabim Potter. The owner of the animal who ate in Bershus HaRabim is Potter, because Shein Bershus HaRabim is Potter, and the only time that you pay for Shein is in Bershus HaNizak. Rashi explains that the reason for this is that the Torah says, V'shilach es bi'ira u'bir b'stei acher. And stay acher implies the Rishus of the Nizak, a private owned Sodeh, rather than Rishus HaRab. A little bit later on in the Sugya of Chaf, we'll have a machlokes regarding the case of Rishus HaRabim in Ksus Okelim. Rav is of the opinion that in Rishus HaRabim, you're potter from Ksus Okelim, because of a principle we'll get to a little bit later. And Shmuel's of the opinion that in Rishus HaRabim, the only time that you'd be potter if it eats something that's a royal law, but not the case of Ksus V'Kelim. So Bli Nether, we'll get to that pretty soon. The Mishnah continues, V'imnenes Mishalemes Mashenenes. What that means is that even in cases where you're potter for shein, for example in Rishus HaRabim, but nevertheless the owner of the animal still has to pay for the hana that he derived. After all, he doesn't have to feed his animal. His animal fed off somebody else. And on this too, we'll have a sugya nafchof, a machlok shein rabba and rava, exactly how to evaluate mashenenes. And finally, the Mishnah concludes, Ketzad Mishalemes Mashenenes Ochlo Mitoch HaRachava Mishalemes Mashenenes. Noz Rechava is the main area of Rishus HaRabim, that's central Rishus HaRabim, if you will, that's where the markets are, city markets. And there you don't pay for Shein, but you pay Mashenenes. But Mitzidei HaRechava, there was an area that was set back from the Rishus HaRabim, in front of the stores, is Meshalevis Mashi Zika. That already is considered a Shinui, and you pay as a tolda of Keren. That's the way Rashi interprets this Mishnah about Sidei Rechava. Tosus is bothered by this later on in Daf Chaf Aleph. Why should Sidei Rechava be called Mishuna? When the animal wants to get at food, it'll go wherever it has to go. It'll jump, it'll climb. And therefore, Tosus says that the intention of the Mishnah is to establish that Sidei HaRechava, like a Rishus HaNizak, is a Chiyuv Shein, and you pay Nezek Sholem. Not the way Rashi would have it, that we're talking about Keren Tama, and you'd pay Chatzi Nezek. But we're talking about a Told of Shein, and why is it called Rishus HaNizak? The answer is because every one of those store owners on the side there have rights to place their fruits down in Sidei HaRechava. And we're going to have a sugya later on with regard to this case of Ochla Behema Mitzidei HaRechava, Meshalevis Ma Shi Zika, Machlok Shin Rav, and Shmuel. The last line in the Mishnah is Mipesach HaChanus Meshalevis Ma Shi Nenes, Mitocha Chanus Meshalemes Mashi Zika. If the animal eats food that was placed in front of the store, that's called Rishus HaRabim, and you only pay, in this case of Shein, Mashenenis. Mitocha Chanus, if the animal eats from inside the store, that's already Rishus HaNizak, is Meshalemes Mashi Zika. Rashi interprets here, Meshalemes Mashi Zika means either Chatzi Nezik in the case of Tam, Nezik Shalom in the case of Muad. We're talking about Keren, and this is Rashi Lushitoso. Rashi understands, if you recall, Sidei Rechava is defined as Shinui. The animal eats what's in front of it and goes going on the right, you know, the regular path in Rishus HaRabim, but that which is off to the side it doesn't eat, and how much more so inside the Rishus of the Nizak. So that comes under Keren, according to Rashi. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a Braisa, and this is to expand on the mission of Hashem Mu'edes Lechol Saroyla. Hashem Mu'edes Lechol Saroyla Keitzad Behema Shenichneso Lechatzer Anizak V'Ochla Ochlin Haru'uyim La Shosasa Mashkin Haru'uyim La Mishali Nezik Sholim. The chiyuv of Shein v'regel, in this case Shein, whether it's Ochlin, whether it's Mashkin, things that it normally would eat, applies in the Chatzar Nizak, and that's who bir b'stei acher. V'chein chaya shenichnaso l'chatzar Nizak v'tarfa behema v'ochla basar mishalem nezek sholem. A chaya will attack its prey and eat its flesh, its carcass, and that's normal, and therefore the owner of the chaya will pay Nezek Sholem for Shein Bershus HaNizak. That's what we have so far. Keep in mind that we had a sugya way back when about Ari. Ari is not Darko Litrov, but rather Darko Lidros, and we discussed that at great length. Then the Braisa continues, Upara Sha'achla Si'orin, even though normally a cow does not eat barley is more appropriate for a donkey, Chamor Sha'achla Karshinon are the kinds of things you give a para to eat, but the Chamor doesn't usually eat it, V'kelv Shalikas HaShemen, Kelv doesn't usually eat up oil, lick up the oil. Chazir sha'ochal chaticha shal basar, the chazir eats meat. We'll see Tosus in a second is bothered by this, but a chazir doesn't usually eat a piece of meat. Is in all these cases, is there shein or is there not shein? So the Braisa says in all these cases, even though this is not the normal diet for the animal, nevertheless, mishalmim nezek sholem, it has the regular din of shein. And this is the sugya called achila mitoch hadchak, or al yedei hadchak. If the animal has no other choice, and that's what there is to eat, the animal will eat it. It's not the first choice. Now, according to this, it becomes clear that if the animal was not in a state of dchak, then it would be keren tam, it would come under shinui and mishuna, you only pay chatzi nezek. Tosfos, Divrei Maaseh v'chazir, is bothered by this premise that a chazir does not eat meat, because in fact, if you take a look in the Mishnais and Olos, you will see that the assumption is with regard to a nefel, that if it's a place where a goyim would bury a nefel, that's a dead body of a baby, it's assumed in terms of tumas oil that the chazir will eat the nefel. Fine. So that's Tosfos. If you're interested, I'm more interested in the Rashba's kasha based on the Gemara and Shabbos Daf Ayin Vav. There, the assumption of the Gemara is achila yedei dchak lav shmei achila. And therefore, if a person carries from one rishus to another food that's not edible, unless you're in a really dire straits, you're potter for that. And the Rashba answers that that's a separate halach in Shabbos as far as Hotzah is concerned, that it's not called achila if it's only a nechal al yedeat chak. And he formulates the principle that the Isra Hotzah requires what we call dvarim chashuvim, you know, things of significance. That's melechas machsheves Osra Torah with regard to Shabbos. In our sugi, on the other hand, since it's royal beim al yedei dchak, that's not called mishuna. And this is what Rav Papa formulates now in the next piece of Gemara. Omer Rav Papa hashta di amrit kol midi delav urche vi ochlo le al yedei dchak shmei achila. Rav Papa wants to take this abstract principle, which he formulates thusly, that anything that the animal eats when it's necessary, it doesn't have other food, it's a last-ditch effort, that's called achila, and you chai mishum shein, and you pay nezek sholem. Therefore, hai shunra, in the case of a cat, the ochel tamra, that ate dates, that's a little bit unusual, or chamra, the ochel bi nisa, the case of a donkey that ate a fish, which is again not usually the diet for a chamor, is mishali nezek sholem. It's considered kedarko, it's considered urche, because of shasad chak. And therefore the halacha is that you pay nezek sholem. Ksus v'kelim, that's already completely excluded as diet, even for shasad chak. And basically we could assume that if an animal attacks a garment or a utensil, it's kavanasa lahazik, it's trying to rip it apart, it's not going to digest it, swallow it and digest it, and if it's a told of Karen, you only pay chatzi nezek, as Rashi explains. The Gemara now tells a story about ahu chamra achamor diochal namo, that ate bread. Now this bread, where was it found? It was located in a basket of some sort of palse lasala. The chamor chewed up the basket that was the receptacle for the bread. And the Gemara says that chayve Rabbi Yehuda l'shalem nezek sholem anama on the bread itself, which is called achila al yedei chak, Rabbi Yehuda says it's shein, you pay nezek sholem. V'asala, but with regard to the basket itself, that's already unusual, is chatzi nezek, you pay like keren, because it's mishuna chatzi nezek. So the Gemara is not so excited about this psak, this verdict of Rabbi Yehuda. V'amai, Why do you pay only chatzi nezek for eating up the basket? Is keva di urche lemechel naham or urche nami lafaluse sala? Would it make sense that as this chamor is eating the bread, it also chews up the basket together with the bread? That's not mishuda. And the Gemara answers, the achal vehodar pales. What was strange about that particular hezek was that first, at time T1, the chamor ate up the bread, and then later, at time T2, it started chewing up the basket. That's already mishuda. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, you only pay chatzi nezek v'toras keren tam. The Gemara comes back and asks another kashu, pas urche hu, but you're telling me that pas comes under shein, and it's normal behavior pattern for the chamor to eat the loaf of bread for a mini. Don't we have a brisa that says just the opposite? Ochla pas ubosar v'savshil mishalim chatzi nezek. And the assumption here is that when it says in this brisa that the animal ate bread and meat and some sort of cooked stew, you pay chatzi nezek, it means that this is not considered normal behavior. So how can you tell me that the chamor eats a pas and on that pas pays nezek sholem? Here we're talking about chatzi nezek midin keren my love bibehema. We certainly assume, unless we know otherwise, that ochla means the behema ate pas. And yet, the brisa formulates the halacha that you achayv mishum keren, you only pay chatzi nezek lo, says Gemara b'chaya. A behema, if need be, will eat bread. A chaya will not eat bread, no matter what. So chaya, for example, would be a tzvi, a deer, would not eat bread. So the Gemara asks, chaya basar urchehu, how could the price to be talking about a chaya, in addition to the case of pas, which is mishuna and keren, it also lists basar. And that's exactly what a chaya eats. This is food for a chaya. It eats basar. So why do you pay chatzi nezek? And the Gemara answers, the mitveh, we're talking about roasted meat. The animal, the chaya in this case, would eat raw meat, but not roasted meat. So that makes it mishuna and keren. Ibois ema Bitavia, another possible way of getting a shinui is that we're talking about a tzvi, a deer. A deer doesn't eat neither bread nor basar. But Iboy Seima, third answer is Leolim bebehema ubipsora. We're talking about a behema. And why would it be mishuna and keren tamo chatzi nezek in the case of ochla pas? We know the behema we saw with chamor will eat the pas. The answer is bipsora, that the bread is on the table. An animal will not usually climb onto the table in order to eat bread. That's mishuna, and that's why the brisa paskens that you only pay chatzi nezek b'tor keren tamo. The Rashba asks a stira. We had it a few times, that if an animal has to eat, it'll jump around, it'll climb around, it'll do whatever it has to do to go into strange places where it doesn't usually get to in order to eat the food. That's not called shinui. And therefore he, the Rashba, according to Rabbi Nachman, changes the girsa, and it's bifitusa. And now we're talking about very hard bread, like hardened toast after a week. And what we do with such a toast is that we take it apart and we convert it into smaller crumbs and particles and we put it into soup. But an animal will definitely not want to eat this, and certainly not a chaya, just like we saw by a chaya, by basar tzalui. Even a behema, we would say, would not eat this lechem tsnuma. You could buy it today in Israel under that same name. And now we're up to Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, and the Gemara begins with a story about an ace. So we're talking about a goat, Hahu Barcha, which is a goat. The Chaza Lifta, it saw Lefes. Lefes is a turnip, a vegetable. Afuma Didona, it was resting on top of a barrel. So you have a turnip on a barrel. Sarich Solik, like it took its paws and it climbed up to the top of the barrel using its feet, etc., its paws and its feet, in order to achla, to eat, little lift of this turnip. Vitavre ledoga, vitavre ledona, and it broke the chavis, this barrel, which is called in Aramaic a dona, and it ate the turnip. Chayve Rava alifta ve'adona nezik sholem. And Rava Paskin, that it has the din of shein for nezik sholem, even with regard to the barrel, the breaking of the barrel. Now, it's as far as the turnip is concerned, okay, nezik sholem, it's a classical case of shein. The chiddush is that he pays nezik sholem on the chavis. My timer, why did Rava say it l'chora? For a goat to break a barrel is something that's mishuna, that should be keren. And the answer is kevan di orche lemecha lifta orche nami lesruche ulemislak. Since the animal, in this case the goat, generally eats a turnip, it's also, if the turnip is resting on top of the barrel, it's also usual, it's also normal for the goat to grab onto the barrel, climb up on it in order to arrive, in order to obtain the turnip, and that's called mishuna. And therefore you pay for the lefes midin shein, and for the chavis midin regel. Now that's a meiri, I don't know what the difference would be between shein and regel here, but conceptually he claims that by climbing up the barrel and breaking it, that becomes a classical case of regel. Now the Gemara wants to know about an animal that eats off of the back of another animal, or, well, we'll see the variations here in a minute. Omar ilfa behema birshus arabim uposhta es tzavara viochla me'algabi chaverta. In other words, there's food on one animal, resting on one animal. Another animal stretches its neck out in order to eat the food off the top that's resting on the top of another animal. Chayeves. It becomes shein b'rishus harabim. Now, if we're talking about b'rishus harabim, how could you pay for shein? It must be that since the food that was eaten by the shein is located on the animal, that's considered like the rishus of the nizak, and therefore you could be chayav for shein. So even though, if you ask me in what location did this achila take place, it's certainly in rishus harabim. Nevertheless, we judge it as if it was rishus hanizak. My taima, says the Gemara, gabi chaverta kechatzara nizak domi. The animal, which is owned by the Nizak in this case, is considered the Rishus of the Nizak. And when it says Chatzara Nizak, you may be able to take this literally. For example, I don't know if something Hefker fell into the saddle or onto the back of an animal, that's where it landed, then the owner of the animal might claim Bailus over Hefker because it's his Chatzar. So the Gemara says, Lema Misayele. We can bring a proof to support this din of ilfa from a brisa. The brisa says, "Hoisa kupaso mufleshes me liachorov." So a kupa is some sort of a box where a person puts, like a chest where a person puts objects in, and he threw it over his back, mufshelis lachorov. Sort of like a knapsack. Upashta tzavar v'yachlemen. When a behemah comes along, stretches out its neck, and eats the contents of this knapsack, chayeves. In such a case, even though it's in Rishus HaRabim, nevertheless, since the animal ate from the knapsack, which is called kalov, of the nizak, it's considered Rishus HaNizak, and you pay nezek sholim b'toras shein. The Gemara says, no, you have no proof from that brisa for ilfa. Kida amar Rava, Rava interprets that brisa b'kofetzes. Well, we'll see in a minute exactly where and in what context Rava said kofetzes. Kofetzes means it jumps. Hachanami, here too, Rava would use that same argument that we're talking about kofetzes. And if this price is talking about kofetzes, which means that the animal, the mazik, jumped and ate from this kupa, which is again is on the back of the animal, so it's raised above the ground, that itself is a shinui. And therefore, you pay chatzi nezek. And it's keren. Now, again, when we learned the Brisa, that was not our impression. The Brisa says chayeves. And we thought it meant nezek sholem. Now we're saying no. Chayeves means chatzi nezek. Because kofetzes is a case of mishuna, and mishuna pays chatzi nezek on the first three times birshus harab. But this has nothing to do with the case of ilfa, where the animal ate in a normal way without shinui, without kfitza, and the owner of the animal pays nezek sholem according to ilfa because the din of shein birshus hanizak. That we don't see here in this brisa. If you're talking about kofetzes, this brisa is irrelevant. By the way, the Pnei Yoshua wants to be mechalik between a bey medaka and a bey magasa. It's not for us now, but he wants to suggest that our sugi of kofetzes, which makes it into mishuna, that's talking about a larger animal. A behema gasa ain't darko lichfo tzafilo almanas lechol. It's not considered normal behavior. But in the case of a smaller animal, behema daka, enochinami kofetzes would be considered normal. You'd be chay mishum shein. Now the Gemara asks, vehecha itmar de Rav. Where did Rav actually make his original statement in what context regarding kofetzes? And the Gemara answers, ahod yomar Rav Oshia. It was a comment that he added to embellish the statement of Rav Oshia. Behema b'shus harabim holcha v'ochla ptura. Amda v'achla chayeves. If it walks and eats with its head in a downward position, that's classical shein. And since it's rishus harabim, you're potur. But amda v'achla chayeves. What does that mean? Amda v'achla. It stands up and it eats. The Gemara says, "Maishna holcha di urche hu amda nami urche hu." I mean, it's normal for the animal to eat while it walks. And you're potter, therefore, birshus harabim, b'tor shein, but it's also normal for the animal to eat while it stands. And once again, we should apply the p'tur of birshus harabim under the av of shein. Amar Rava b'kofetzes. Rav Oshi was not talking about a behemo medes. It's stationary and it eats the way a normal animal eats, but rather amda v'ochla. What's amda v'ochla? The animal stands on its back 2 feet, and eats. That's not the way an animal eats, and therefore the Bialim only have to pay chatzi nezekidin keren, and the same thing applies in the case of kupaso mufleshes leachorov in the brice that we brought before. We thought that was a support text for ilfa, but no, with a maskoni you're paying chatzi nezek because of kofetzes, because of shinui. Now, there's a major machlokas here in the Rishonim that I just want to touch upon very, very briefly. And the question is as follows. Whether this din of kofetzes, what I mean by kofetzes is not this strange case that we spoke about in Rav Oshia and Rava's frame of reference, But rather, classical kofetzis, if that's the only way the animal could get access to the food, that's not called a shinui, and yochayev. But what happens if it's in Rishus HaRab? According to the opinion of many Rishonim, if kofetzis is the only way of getting to the access to it, and it's on top of another animal, that's called Rishus HaNizak. And that applies anywhere in Rishus HaRab. Other Rishonim insist that it's not enough to say that the animal could only have access to the food through kofetzes. That's not enough to make it into Shein. But you also need another condition. It's not just anywhere in Rishus HaRab. It's got to be located in Kalev Shel Nizak, as we said before. That becomes a chotzer. That becomes Rishus HaNizak. Boy Rabbi Zera, Mizgalgel Mahu. What's the din of an animal that, in a sense, rolls its food, it transports its food from one Rishus to another Rishus in order to eat it? And the suffix is going to be, in Rabbi Zera, what do we emphasize here? Is the halacha determined by the place from which the animal took the food, or by the place, the location where the animal ate the food? Hechi dami, the Gemara asks, what's the case? Kigon, de kaima amir versus ayochid. Amir is a chavilas kash, meaning it's a whole stack of straw, and this stack of straw is located in Rishus HaYochid, which under normal conditions would be a chiyuv shein, Rishus HaNizak, but the behemoth itself is standing in Rishus HaRabim. We call Mizgalgal V'yosi Rishus HaYochid Rishus HaRabim. So when the animal actually picks up the Amir, it picks it up from the Rishus HaYochid where it's located, but it takes it into, before it eats, the Rishus HaRabim, and that's where it ate it. My! Does the halacha of Shein, is it determined by the Rishus from which it was taken, in this case Rishus HaNizak, Rishus HaYochid, or by the location where it actually ate the food, which is in this case Rishus HaRabim, and its potter? And you'll take a look at Rashi. Rashi says that the suffix goes in both directions. You could have a case of the animal that's standing in Rishus HaNizak, and it picks up the food in Rishus HaRabim to take it into Rishus HaNizak, it eats in Rishus HaNizak. Once again, what is the critical determining factor? Is it the location from whence it took the food? And therefore, in this second case, where it was Megalgal near Rishus HaRabim Ptura, because it's Dochi of Shein Rishus HaRabim, or do we judge, and what's critical is the place where it ate the food, and in this case, it ate the food in Rishus HaNizak? The other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Chanan, the Rambam, they assume that the Ikar Suffik in Agamara is a slightly different case. And that's where the Behemah was standing in Rishus HaYochid, it was Megalgil, and it brought it into Rishus HaRabim, back to Rishus HaYochid. But that's not for us now. We're going to focus on Rashi. Toshma, the Gemara wants to be Machriya in the Suffik, the Tani, Rabbi Chiya, Masai. There is a burden, let's say a large sack of barley, is miktsaso bifnim. Bifnim, as you saw in the Mishnah at the beginning of Shabbos, is inside the Rishus HaYochid. So part of the sack is inside. Miktsaso b'chutz, the other part is outside in Rishus HaRabim. Achla bifnim chayeves, achla b'chutz ptura. If the animal eats in the Rishus HaYochid, chayeves. My love, what's the case of the Braisa? Mizgalgil v'yasi. That the behemoth was Megalgil, this sack, from Rishus to another Rishus. And that's what the Braisa means. Achlasa bifnim. Everything depends upon where it actually ate it. If it was Megalgil from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, it ate it in Rishus HaYochid chayeves. And in the reverse case of achlaso bachutz, where even though the animal picked it up Rishus HaYochid, it ate it out in Rishus HaRabim Ptura, because everything is determined by the makom achila. And that would answer our original suffix, the suffix of Rabbi Zeira. The Gemara says, lo, no, there's no way of determining based on this Brisa, the Ema, because we could always say that the Brisa is talking about something entirely different. And what it means is, Gilgal HaBeimer Shesaram Achla, if it picks up the food in Rishus, in one Rishus, and then eats it in a different Rishus, Al Masha Bifnim, that which is located in Rishus HaYachid, and that's where the animal took it from, Chayeves, even though it ate in Rishus HaRabim, Al Masha Bechutz, on that which it took from Rishus HaRabim, even though it ate in Rishus HaYachid Petura. In other words, all depends upon the makom, not where it ate it, the way we originally understood it, but the makom from which it was taken. Ibois Ema, the Gemara offers a second possibility, Kikom Rab Chia Bipsila Das Pasta, this Brisa of Rabbi Chia is a case of alfalfa, which is wheat that was cut prematurely for animal fodder. And we're not talking about a sack, you know, a sack full of barley, where the animal took the sack from one rishus to another rishus, but rather we're talking about a chavila, some sort of a package of shachas. Now, they take the shachas and you package it together in such a way that it's kind of long, and part of it is laying, is located in one rishus, let's say the rishus HaYachid, the other part of it is in rishus HaRavim, the animal starts eating it from one end, and memela, it keeps dragging the other end into the place where it's eating. And that's why this chavila of shachas is judged, is defined by the place of its achila, because it's constantly being dragged into the place of achila. That has nothing to do with the suffix of Rabbi Zeira regarding garine siorim, where you have seeds of barley seeds that each one is eaten in and of itself. It's not dragged, you know, one after the other. So the behema now is responsible actively for bringing it from one rishus into another rishus. And that's the way Rashi interprets this sugya, that the suffix Reb Zera reflects on the case where the animal itself brings the fruits from one rishus to the other. Tosus is not happy with this pshat in the Gemara. He doesn't think they could have a valid suffix and vacillate on this issue, whether to go by makom netila, makom achila. The Gemara says later on at Daf Chav Gimel, in the famous sugi that we touched upon of kole of kelev shenot lacharora mechatzeru shel balach harav yochla begodish, and this doesn't belong to the balach harora. You're potter from paying on the harora like shame. Why? Because it's Shalob Rishus HaNizak. And you see clearly that we judge it by the Rishus where it's eaten, not the Rishus where it was taken from. Why is it that in that sugi you don't pay for the eating of the Charoa? Because the Charoa was removed by the animal from the Rishus HaNizak and it was eaten in another Rishus. You see clearly that the din of Rishus HaKoveh is the Rishus Sheba Ochel, not the Rishus Mimetullah Natal. And therefore the Tosfos in the name of the Ri has a different interpretation of the suffix in this Gemara. We're talking about peros that were left in the Rishus HaNizak, that's where they're located. And they themselves, because the ground was on an incline, are rolling towards Rishus HaRabim. Of course, the animal came and interceded and ate these peros before they left the Rishus HaNizak, but since they were on their way to Rishus HaRabim, if not for the animal's intervention, we should judge the situation as if the para ate it in Rishus HaRabim, because sofo hoyla nuach sham, and therefore the animal would be potter for shein. Or do we say no, lamaisa, in reality it ate it in Rishus HaNizak, interceding the falling or the rolling back of the peros into Rishus HaRabim, we care about where it ate it before. That's how Tosus interprets this suffix. Now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah about roila and ena roila. Achla ksuso kelim, that's called meshuna, and you only pay chatzi nezek. The Gemara wants to clarify exactly when, right? And then the Mishnah goes on to say, v'medvar b'shus ha-nizak, you're only chayev for shein in reshus ha-nizak, but you're not chayev reshus ha-rabim. And now the Gemara wants to analyze this p'tur of shein when it eats in reshus ha-rabim. What exactly is the scenario? Ah, yeah. In other words, what case did the Mishnah have in mind when it said that you're potter for shein reshus ha-rabim? And is this sort of an extension of the Reisha, where the Reisha talks about Ocheles Kedarka, or even in a different situation of Ochlo Ksus Okele? Omar Rav Aku, this din of Rishus Rabim refers to the entire Mishnah, all the cases in the Mishnah, even the case where she ate Ksus Okele in Rishus Rabim, she's also Ptura. Now, this is a Pella. Ostensibly, Rav's understanding of our Mishnah contradicts everything we know, because Hadarabba, by creating this scenario of a Shinui of Ksus or Kalim, you're being more Machmir in Rishus HaRab. So what does it mean that you're potter for Ksus or Kalim or Rishus HaRab? My time of the Gemara immediately asks this question. And here's where the Gemara formulates a brand new principle in Hilchus Nizakin. And that is called Mishanu Bo Acher Vashinu Bo Potter. If the original person, the Nizak, does something strange in Rishus HaRabim, for example, he puts down his garments or his utensils in the middle of, you know, the highway, so to speak, I mean to say the highway for people who walk, that's not the normal way of doing so. And even though the behemoth now comes along and makes a shinui and eats or chews at these kelim, at these ksus or kelim, which is also a shinui, and you should be chayav in Rishus HaYochid, but in this case, the Baal Behema HaMazek is potter because the Nizak himself made a Shinui. Once the Nizak made the Shinui, then the Mazek is not chayav. Now, this is all a case where the animal made a Shinui by eating Ksus HaKelim. What about the case where the animal ate Kedarka without a Shinui, but the Meniach, in this case the Nizak, did a Shinui? And the Mefarshim say that in that case, the Baal HaShein is Potter. Meaning, in order to understand and apply this principle of Rav, we need what we call Tarti L'Reis. So we need two negative factors, two negative conditions. First of all, the Nizak did a Shinui. And second of all, the Behema also did a Shinui. So that's called Mishano Barach of a Shinobo. That combination thereof exempts the Baal HaMazik from paying damages. But if, let's say, the Nizak did a Shinui, and the Baal HaMazik did not do a Shinui, it wasn't Ba Acher V'Shinubo, it was, let's say, Peros V'Oklin. Again, Peros V'Oklin in Azah, in that particular scenario in which the Nizak was, you know, was out of line by putting his Peros in the Rishus HaRabim. In such a case, there would be a chiyuv of shein because there was no shinui here. It's not like the case of ksus v'kelim, but again, you'd have to add the condition that was b'rishus ha-nizak. So again, we don't have yet an exact case that fits this bill that the nizak was mishana, but it was b'rishus ha-nizak. Or anything the nizak does b'rishus ha-nizak is not a shinui. Shmuel Omar Lo Shanu. When do we say that Shein is Ptur Bishus Arabim Ella Peros V'Yerokos Aloksus V'Kelim Chayeves? The whole Ptur Bishus Arabim is only when the animal ate a normal Achila, that's Peros V'Yerokos, and that becomes Shein Bishus Arabim is Ptur. But if the animal ate Ksus V'Kelim, then that's a Chiyuv B'Torah's Keren. Karen is Chayeves even in Rishus HaRabim, and Shmuel seems to assume that in this case of Ksus V'Kelim, even though it's very odd to find Ksus V'Kelim that were left there by someone in Rishus HaRabim, that's a Shinui. Nevertheless, the Baal HaBehema is Chayev Mishum Karen because this is a shinui, even though it's Rishus Rabim. When I say even though it's Rishus Rabim, means you would have thought that if it's Rishus Rabim, there should be no chiyuv shein over here for eating. But the answer is we're talking about keren, because it's ksus v'keilin, and keren is chayav Rishus Rabim. You might ask, but the nizak Lechora did something very strange by placing his peiros and kalim. I'm sorry, by placing his ksus v'kalim down a rishus harabim. It doesn't matter. Shmuel never adopted this principle of kol hamashanu v'achar v'shina. The chenom reishlokas also maintains the shita that we first brought down, the first sheet of Rav, meaning that there's a p'tur shein rishus harabim ba'akulu. Akulu means on all the cases of the Mishnah, even the case of ksus v'kalim. And even though you might say, well, that's Mishun and that's Keren, and therefore you should be Chayim Rishus Rabim Nain, he's part of Rishus Rabim because the Nizak did something very unusual, very odd, the overstepping his bounds, past the red line, by placing Ksus V'Kelim on Rishus Rabim. The Ozda Reish Lakish L'Tamei, and at this point the Gemara thinks that the case of Shtei Paros, Rishus Rabim, which we're about to learn now, is equivalent to the discussion of Rav and Shmuel with regard to Kol Hamashan. What's the case? The Omer Eish Lakish, the sugi later on, Shtei Paros Bishus Ram Achas Revuta the Achas Mehaleches. There's one animal that's laying down on the ground, and the other one is walking. Bata Hamaleches Birvuta. The animal that was walking gave a good clap, a good kick to the animal that was laying down. Ptura. In such a case, the be'ita here does not generate any chiyuv, even though lechora it should be keren, and keren is chayav rishus harabim. But the answer is, what was the para doing laying down, the victim para, laying down on the ground? That itself is a shinui. And although it might happen rishus ayachid, but not in rishus harabim, and therefore this statement of Reish Lakish would seem to be an application of the general rule of kolam shanu b'achar v'shinu b'opatu revutza b'maleches chayeves. If the animal that was on the ground now kicks the animal as it walks back, then the owner of the mazik is chayev to pay, because since in this case it's keren, and there's no shini on the part of the nizak, the owner of the animal that was malechus, that was victimized here, was not doing anything unusual. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, lo shanu ele peros v'yirakos, aval ksus v'kelim chayeves. According to Rabbi Yochanan, when the Chacham in our Mishnah said that a shein is ptura b'rshus harab, and that's only in peros v'irakos, but in ksus v'kelim, where there's a shinui, and therefore the av of keren kicks in, chayevas, you have to pay, even in rishus harabim. And it would seem at first glance that Rabbi Yochanan's rejecting this principle that we saw in the name of Rav, and now in the name of Reish Lakish, of kol hamashanu b'achar v'shinu b'opatur, because Rabbi Yochanan says on ksus v'kelim you pay, even though the person, the nizak, who put that as ksus v'kelim, which is around, was a mashana. And the Gemara adds, afilu b'shtei paros, that logically we can deduce Rabbi Yochanan's opinion in the case of shtei paros, meaning the revutza and the maleches, that if the maleches kicks the revutza, there should be a chiyuv here. In other words, As long as the hezek is keren, the fact that the revutza was lying down in the street, which is a shinui, doesn't in any way alleviate the baal hamazik's responsibility to pay damages. Lo, the Gemara says no. Li olam isleiv, Rabbi Yochanan agrees to this principle of kol hamashana, and therefore in the case where the para maleches kicks the para revutza, Rabbi Yochanan would agree that you're chayev, because the maleches is not... Sorry, let's just go over that last point. Rabbi Yochanan would agree to the principle of kol hamashana, and like Rabbi Yochanan, he would exempt the Baal HaPorah Maleches from payment for damages under Revutza, because the Revutza had no right, so to speak, to lay down in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, and that is a Shinui. But nevertheless, in the case of Ksus, or Kalim, that were left in Rishus HaRabim, that's where Rabbi Yochanan says that the Baal HaShor has to pay. Why is that? And the answer is Ksus Avdi Inchi de Manche Glime Umitafche. It's quite possible and quite normal that a person would put his Ksus or his Kalim down or Rishus HaRabim. He's taking a break, he's carrying, schlepping heavy stuff, he puts it down. And that's not called a Maisa Shinui. And therefore, if the animal goes ahead and destroys the Ksus and Kalim, then you pay b'toras keren, even in Rishus HaRabim. Aval behemo lav urche. But revitza, for an animal to lie down in Rishus HaRabim, that is unusual behavior, that's a shinui. And therefore, if your animal, as you take it through Rishus HaRabim, gives a kick to the revitza, even though that's a shinui and it should be in Rishus HaRabim, it should qualify as keren. Nevertheless, we have the principle of kol hamishana. And therefore the Baal HaMazik is part because the Nizak did a shinui over here. We continue with the Mishnah that we started with. Shein is p'tur Rishus HaRabim, but nevertheless im nenes mishalem es masha nenes. The owner of the animal saved himself supper that night for the animal, and therefore he has to pay what's called hanor. And here we have machlokes exactly how to evaluate that hanor. V'kama, Rabba Amr Dmei Amir. If the animal ate a stack of seorim, how much would that stack of seorim as food for the animal be worth? The animal filled his belly up with this stack of barley. Again, you don't have to pay for the nezek itself, which means the exact market value of the amir. We reduce it by such, but how much to reduce it by, says Rabba. You calculate what would be the basic food that the animal would certainly have to be fed, the bialim would certainly have to purchase in order to feed the animal, keep it going. We'll call that dmei kash v'teven, just straw, and we subtract that from the dmei amir, meaning he only pays the lower price. So let's say kash v'teven would sell at 100, whereas amir, which is barley, which is more expensive, would sell at 200. The Nizak can only demand payment for 100. That's what really was the benefit, the Hanah that the Mazik got. He saved himself a supper of Kash V'Tevin. Rava wants to jack up the price. Again, it's not going to be the full market price of an Amir of Seorim, but rather Dmei Seorim Bizol. He has to pay Dmei Seorim, according to Rava. I mean, that's the hanor that the animal had. The animal ate the dvei siorim. But you would think, well, let's go to the marketplace and calculate or estimate how much that volume that the animal ate of siorim would be sold for in the shuk. That far we don't go, because that would be shein v'shus anizak. That would be shein mamish, to pay nezik sholim. No. What you do pay is a certain percentage of the value of siorim bizol. In other words, let's say the market price for siorim would go down at a particular case, for whatever reason, inflation or depression. So you would pay, and this is based on Rashi, quoting a sugulator in Bava Basra, actually, called Shnei Shlish, that the value of the siorim as zol is 2/3 of the market value of siorim when all market conditions are on normal. So again, what's the logic of Rav here? Rav says, even though this mazik, right, the Baal HaMazik, would not feed his animal under normal conditions, such expensive barley, an amir of barley, but nevertheless, it's not enough that he pay the value of cash v'tevin, because l'maisa the animal received a better deal, a better bargain. So we have to make an umdana, we have to evaluate, you know, how much would a person be willing to pay in order to upgrade his animal's diet on that particular evening, you know, give him a fancy meal in a fancy restaurant, and that's called demei sa'orim bizol. The Gemara now wants to support Rabba from one brisa and support Rabba from a different brisa. Tanya kavasi de Rabba, Tanya kavasi de Rabba, Tanya kavasi de Rabba. What's the brisa that supports Rabba? Reb Shimon Yochai Omar, Ein Mishalemes Elad Mei Amir Bilvad, and that would support Rabba that you pay the cheapest amount. So as we said before, Amir is the equivalent of cash v'tevin of straw. That's the lowest price possible. Tanya Kavosi, we have another raisa that supports the Rava. Im nenes mishalemes masha nenes, keitzad, ochla kavo kabayim ein omrim shetishalemes dmehem. If the animal ate a certain volume called a kav, you don't go out to the market and figure out the price of a kav of whatever it ate. Right, that's only in a case of Shein versus Nizak. Ela omdim kamadim rotzel lahachil lebem todovar roila. How much would a person be willing to spend a little bit of extra to give the animal, let's say, dovar roila, not just cash v'tevin, the lowest, but let's say siorin, bali, and it wouldn't be exactly a calf's worth, because that's a large measure, rather the measure of what's re'uyala, how much it would normally be fed. The afal pi says she'eno rogel, even though it doesn't usually eat si'orim, it usually eats calf, kash v'teven, but since the animal ate something more expensive, and that's the hanor that the Baal HaBema got, he would pay a certain amount, a certain price for this, is therefore lefichach ochla chitin odova harala ptura. If let's say the animal ate something that's detrimental to its health, then the Baal HaBema doesn't get any anor, and he doesn't pay at all. Now, what we're about to embark upon is a case where someone gets benefit from someone else's possessions, and does he pay for that hanor that he got? And this is the famous sugya called Zeh Neneh V'zeh Lo Choser. I don't think we'll have time to finish the sugya today, but maybe we'll get up to the top of Daf Chaf Amid Beis. Amalei Rav Chizda L'Rami Bar Chama Lo Haves Gabon Bi'urta B'tchuma. Rav Chizda says to Rami, I wasn't there last night to hear the Torah, and I was told that there was a very important discussion there, and I'd like to know Iboilon Mili Mealis. So there was an investigation of a suffix, an inquiry about something very important, and therefore Rav Rami Bar Chama is going to somehow notify Rav Chizda what he missed. Omar my Mili Maliyasa Omolei, if you're asking me what great and fundamental discussions we had, I'll tell you, Rav Chizda, what we discussed. We had a suffix about Hadar Bechotza Chaver Shlomi Daito. I'm going to call this, in my language, squatters. Not squatters' rights, but a squatter goes into someone's chotzer and he pitches tent there, he goes to sleep there. Shlomi Daito, he never told the owner of the chotzer, got permission to do so. Tzarech la'alos lo scharo eino tzarech. Does he have to pay? Does the owner of the chutz have rights to litigate, to sue him, to pay rental fees for living in his chutz? So the Gemara says, hey, chidon. And now the Gemara clears the way for this suffix, because in two extreme cases, there's no suffix whatsoever. Elema, if you're talking about a case of the chutz lo kaimili agra, this chutz is not something that you rent out. It's just not rented. so that the owner of the chatzah really didn't lose anything if somebody packed his, you know, pitched tent there. And the Gemara says that in such a case, we have to add another variable, gavra delo ovid lemegar. It's really hard to call this hanah because we're talking about a gavra, an individual that doesn't usually pay money in that particular case, that particular moment of time in that place to rent out a chatzah. Maybe there are other homes that have a gemach and he could use the guest house without bothering anybody and nobody's going to charge him for it. So in such a case, for sure, he's going to be potter because you're missing both variables. There's no loss, there's no chisaron here to the owner of the chatzah, and there's no real monetary hanah to the squatter. And that's called in the Lashon HaShas, zelo nene v'zelo chaser. In other words, since the owner of the chatzah in any event was not renting it out, and since the squatter in any event was not about to pay rental to anyone, that's called zelo nene v'zelo chaser. There's no grounds for suing for payment. Oh, elo, but now it gets a little bit more complicated. What's the scenario? B'chotze dekaimo la'agra, this chotze, shall we say, can be rented out. It's very easy to find a renter and make some profit. The gavra di'ovid lemegar, and this squatter would have paid who knows what in rental fees. He has no other place to pitch his tent. In such a case, vaday chayev l'shalom. There's no question he has to pay. So we've cleared out the two extremes. When it's no-no and yes-yes, no-no means it's neither a chisaron for the bala chotzer, nor is it ano for the squatter. In that case, for sure, you cannot claim any money. And the other extreme, where the bala chotzer is taking, in effect, a loss, it's chosel because it's omedes laskara, and at the same time, the squatter has hano because he would have paid whatever he would have paid for a hotel room that night. That's called zenene v'zechoser. And in such a case, there's no question that you have to pay. Now, there is a point I wanted to make here. Tosis Dir Maskel Zenene, he seems to interpret the Gemara that it matters not whether or not the Bala Chotzer was actually seeking out a renter. You know, did he put up in Django, did he publicize on the internet that he's looking for someone to rent his Chotzer? But it just means that he could rent his Chotzer. And once he has the potential to rent his Chotzer, there's a value, there's a price tag on the rental, the actual living in the Chotzer. Now, if someone else packs in and pitches tent, then any onlooker who sees that someone's already living, he's occupying the chotzer, he's not going to ask the chotzer, the bala chotzer, to rent it out to him. He's already got a renter. So what's the case that we were deliberating about? The chotzer delokaimil agra. This is not a rentable. You know, there's no advertisement here. We're looking for a renter for this chotzer. However, gavra di ovid lemeimar, but the squatter himself would be willing to pay, and he saved himself quite a bundle by squatting on someone else's land. And there's nowhere else that he could get it for free. So that's a case of zenena. You know, there's a real tangible hanah and a financial benefit that the squatter got from someone else's field, but it's lo chaser. No one was waiting online to pay rental for that chaser. And now the Gemara analyzes the two sides to this inquiry. Matzi amrle, does the squatter have the right to turn to the owner of the chaser and say, my chisartich, what did you lose by the fact that I used your field, used your chotzer? It was lokai miliagre. It wasn't rentable anyway. So even if I lived there, you wouldn't have rented it out. You wouldn't have made any profit. And therefore, potter. Oh, Dilma, the other side is to say, Motzi Omar. And here we're turning to Daf Chaf Amid Beis. Hois Hanes. And the one who's talking now is the owner of the chotzer, and he's looking and he's turning to the squatter, and he's saying, look, you would have easily had to pay 100, 200, whatever it is, in order to get a roof over your head. You got serious, tangible benefit. You have to pay for that. No. And basically, the Gemara is vacillating back and forth about these two polar, these two variables, because there's one variable that works with the laws of Nezikin, albeit Gromov in Nezikin, that's Chaser, and there's another Machayev entirely that maybe has to pay B'Toras HaNoah, that HaNoah itself is a new Machayev. And that's what the Gemara seems to be analyzing, and to what extent is it critical in order to force the squatter to pay, to introduce the Chisaron of the omedes of kaim oleagra, and that makes it into a mazik situation. Again, as I said before, begroma. Omoleis Rav Chami answers Rav Chizda Masnisini. I don't know why you have to rack your brains. It's a Mishnah. Hi Masnisin. So now Rav Chizda turns to Rabbi Bar Choma, and he says, which Mishnah do you have in mind? Tell me, my Rebbe. Omoleis Rabbi Bar Choma says, Lchi to Shamesh Li, I want you to service me like a Talmud serves his Rebbe. Then you'll take my answer very seriously after you've sweated out. Is Shakal Sudre Karachle? Rav Chizda took the Sudar, some sort of a garment or a kerchief of Rabbi Bar Choma, and he folded it up beautifully. Amalei, so Rabbi Bar Choma now is going to tell him, reveal the answer. And the Mishnah itself, our Mishnah, speaks about an animal that ate peros and reshusa rabim. The Bala Behema of the Bala Mazik gained something because he no longer has to feed his cow dinner that night. On the other hand, the Bala Peros did not have any chisaron. And again, this is a long discussion as to why not, but we're going to soon see that the premise of the Gemara is that if a person puts his payers down and reshus harab, he's mafkir them. He doesn't really have a shot at getting them back. So it's lo chaser. But nevertheless, the Mishnah says, im nenes mishalemes masha nenes. So you see that zed nenes is a machayev unto itself even without chaser, even though it's lo chaser. So we'll stop here for the meantime, and b'li neder, we're going to see that Rava, you know, maybe we'll just read another few lines in the Gemara here. Rava is going to reject this proof from the Mishnah of Rami Bar Choma. Kama lo choli v'lo margish gavra demori siata. This is a very dramatic, idiomatic phrase. He says, how reliable is this gavra? You know, how much does he rely and he doesn't have to worry about any evil? Rami Bar Choma, he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come to his aid, meaning he could say something that's wrong, that's imprecise, no one's going to make a deal about it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting him. The Afgav Vlo Domi L'Mastisen Kabla Mine, even though Rami Bar Choma's equation, his analogy to HaMishnah is not precise, is not on, you know, to the point. Nevertheless, you know, Rav Chizda accepted it. You know, he was a Talmud, he accepted it. But in truth, these two cases are not similar at all. Hi, the Mishnah, which talks about Behemah Sha'achla Peres Peshus HaRabim, and you have to pay for the Hanoah, Zenen V'Zeh Choseh. Don't assume that just because the Nizak, the Baal HaPeres, put his Peres down in Peshus HaRabim, he made him Hefker, and he took no loss. V'Hai, but on the other hand, the actual suffix that we've deliberating about is zenene v'zech. I'm sorry, is ve'ilu hai is zenene v'zeh lo chaseru. There the Baal HaChaser lost nothing, so he can't claim any nezikin. So there's no proof whatsoever from our Mishnah with regard to someone who squats in someone else's field, because in our Mishnah we're talking about a case of chaser, where the owner of the peros takes a loss because his peros were eaten. Oh, Rami Bar Choma, what was he thinking when he quoted that Mishnah Zaraya and he assumed it was zen en v'zel lo chaser, stam peros just a rabim afkure mafkelehu. When a person puts down his peros and just a rabim, we indicated this before, he gives up hope, he despairs of ever getting them back, he realizes he left it in Rishus HaRabim, it's gone. and it's hefker. And if that be the case, we're talking about a low chaser situation. If it's low chaser, it's exactly similar to the case of a person who lives in someone else's chatzer, which is not omedes liagro. It doesn't. It's not online to be rented out. He's not advertising and so forth and so on. And therefore, we have a strong tzad to say that he doesn't have to pay for hano alone when there's no chisaron to the baal aperos because the baal aperos left the mishus arab, and that's what Rami Bar Chama was thinking. And therefore, he brought this analogy from our Mishnah. Okay, we'll stop here.